to read from John chapter 14, verse 8.
Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe in me that I am the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it.
If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world?" And Jesus answered, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me."
"These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, 'I'm going away, and I will come to you.' If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I am going to the Father. For the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here."
This is the word of the Lord.
Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Mark and Patty. Jesus, this is actually the longest teaching of Jesus consecutive from John 13 to John 17. It's called the Farewell Discourse. It's the last time the disciples would be together before he's arrested. It's that night. They've already had Passover. He's already instituted communion or the Lord's table. And he's given this discourse about him going away. And I can imagine if you're with Jesus, maybe you're leading your last board meeting before you disappear, before you get arrested. This is it. And he's imparting to them a message. He's imparting to them a way of life. He's challenging them to say, "Hey, what I've been doing is now going to be transferred to you." If you look at this almost as a race, Jesus has been carrying the baton of the kingdom. He has been given the kingdom. And he said, "Look, I'm going away, but I'm going to give it to you. You've got to pick up the baton and run." What I love about this passage, the crux of this passage for me is this: truly, truly, I say to you, if you believe in me, you will also do what I do. The works that I do, you're going to do. And greater works than these, you'll do. Now, I don't know about you, but when I hear that, if I was a disciple, I'd be like, no, say what? Say that again? He said, what I've been doing. Now, what has Jesus been doing? Well, he's been ministering to the poor. He's been taking the outcast, and he's been saying, you're significant to God. He's been taking the person that no one else could believe God could use. He said, I'm going to use you. He took the sick and he healed them. He raised the dead. He took those who were oppressed by evil spirits and said, you've got a life and God is going to deliver you from darkness. This is the ministry of Jesus. And he says, you know what? The works that I do, you're going to do. Now, if you're a good charismatic or you've been grown up in a spirit-filled church, this is our verse, right? We believe greater works, praise the Lord, right? Now, if you go to the commentaries, they do a painstaking job to tell you that it's not miracles he's talking about. Now, I'm gonna help you here. I've been looking at the works of Jesus. He did some miracles, amen? So it's absolutely talking about the works as in miracles, but it's not just talking about that. In fact, you could interpret this by saying, everything that I've been doing, the things I've been doing, you're going to do the things. So that's not just the miracles, but it's everything. And it's an invitation into the life of God, the ministry of Jesus, to be a part of what Jesus is doing. Now, if some of y'all were alive when 9/11 happened, okay, you probably remember where you were. I was over here at Todd Dining Hall, taking a fellow student. We were going through the Purple Book together, and we look up at the TV and we see the first plane hit. And when that happened, a shift took place in this nation, around the world, even in our lives. We still remember. It was so impactful. But there was a lot of fear going on. And one of the pastors that we're connected with in Nashville, he called up another friend here in Durham, and he said, hey, what are you doing? He goes, I'm sitting in front of the couch, just days later, watching the news, like what everybody else is doing. And he said, I just got inspired. I watched the news, and the firefighters that were a part of this saving lives, and some of them gave their lives, they said, look, when everybody runs out, we run in. And he said, I've been inspired. Everybody's running away from New York City. We need to go there. Start a church. And he said, okay. Everybody needs a friend like that, right? I was watching the news, right? In the safety of my home, praying. Well, I was praying. Get up, let's go. And so they went and they began to walk into New York City and share the good news of the gospel within days of this happening. A few days later, in October, about a month after that, one of my friends said, hey, let's go up. We're going to share the gospel in the city of New York. Well, I've never been to New York City. I'm from Eastern North Carolina. In fact, you couldn't even fly into New York City. At the time, you had to fly somewhere else and then drive in. And what's interesting is, if you've never been to New York City and you're from a small town in Eastern North Carolina, it's big. It's intimidating. Especially when you're going, like, I'm coming with something to help this city out. Praise the Lord. I'm coming with the gospel. And then you, like, drive in. You're like, I don't even know my name anymore. I was terrified. In fact, when Jesus starts this chapter in John 14, he says this. He says, let not your hearts be troubled. Anytime you hear Jesus say that, you're like, you're about to be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. And so we drive into the city, first time in New York City. I'm disoriented, big buildings. I'm just, you know, I get out of the cab, and this man from an unknown religion, I don't know what kind of religion he was, he bull rushes me because I didn't know. I'm just kind of like, He grabs my hand, starts asking me for money, and starts chanting something on my hand. And I was like, oh, can't have my money. But I immediately felt something supernatural, spiritual cling to my hand. And he pulled away. I was like, right? And I remembered, man, this is a supernatural reality that we're talking about. Jesus is alive. He rose from the dead, right? And I prayed and got released from that thing, spent time with the Lord, got secure. Okay, I am here. It took me 24, 48 hours. And before you know it, I move, you know, we're going into Central Park. And we're just talking to people about Jesus. And I met a young man named Dennis. He was in his 30s from Mexico. And I got to share my faith with him. And just talk about the love of God and how God cared about him. And he just began to weep. He says, I'm terrified every day. And he got to share Jesus with him. It took him some days, but he put his faith in Christ. And it was interesting because I went from scared to secure to service, right? By the power of the Holy Spirit, who told me to go, and then I went, and look what God did. Now, I'm not going to say that was a greater work than Jesus, right? He did much greater things than that. But I think Jesus told us that to lift up our eyes, to believe for greater things. Because Peter, I don't know if y'all remember this in the book of Acts, his shadow would heal people. No, Jesus didn't do that. Now, could Jesus have done it? Of course. He's God. Paul, they said his apron or his handkerchief, they'd take it and run to a different city and that touched people and they get healed. Now, the point isn't that Jesus couldn't do that. It was that he was now with the Father and he is releasing power by the Holy Spirit to his people to do the greater works. I'm challenged by that this morning. Are you? Now, we can sit here theologically and unchallenge ourselves, can't we? Well, maybe he didn't mean greater works. We do that. But I think it's there on purpose to challenge us to believe for greater things. Here's my big idea this morning. By faith and because of love, we participate in the greater works of Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit. By faith and because of love, we participate in the greater works of Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Now, there's a kind of Christianity that believes all the right things, but experiences almost none of the life Jesus promised. You can believe Jesus died on the cross. Believe your sins are forgiven. Believe heaven is real. And still live anxious, disconnected, powerless, and alone. And if we're honest, many of us have felt that gap. A gap between what we believe and what we experience. In John 14, Jesus is speaking to anxious and confused disciples. He doesn't give them better information. He offers them something far greater. A relationship with himself that will be experienced through the Spirit. So this morning, the title of this, there are greater works. Can y'all say that? There are greater works. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. Greater works than these will he do because I'm going to the Father. If you believe in Jesus, it's funny, going to New York, I believe that Jesus was real. I believe Jesus was real coming to this campus as a freshman. In fact, if you gave me a survey, I could get it 100% theologically right. And yet, that belief didn't change me. You can this morning believe all the right things about God. But that's not the belief Jesus is inviting us into. Greater works is an invitation to believe. If you're right with God this morning, it means this, that you have put your faith in something Jesus did 2,000 years ago. You believe that God became a man in Jesus. He lived the life we should have lived. He died the death we should have died in our place for our sin. And then he rose from the dead in bodily form and then ascended to heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. That's our faith. We put our faith in what Jesus did. That's what some would call the historical aspect of the gospel. Meaning, the good news, the gospel is good news. It's about something that happened in the past. When we say news, we mean we are reporting on something that happened. Our faith this morning is in something that happened 2,000 years ago. God suffered and died on the cross. Foolishness to the world. But to us who believe, the power of God. But I want to encourage you this morning that that is not the belief that Jesus is inviting us into. Jesus didn't say, if you believe in what I did on the cross, you'll do the greater works. He said, if you believe in me. Believing in what Jesus did is the center of our faith. It divides human history. God did something until that moment, and then now he's doing something else. It's changed everything. If anyone has believed in that and felt the power of God change their life, they'll never be the same. But that's not the belief Jesus is calling us to. He is saying this, if you believe in me, you'll do the works I've been doing. Well, what is he saying then? It means that we believe that God in Christ is alive. And that he was breaking into human history and is still breaking in through the church. I'm going to say that again. We don't just believe in an event that happened. We're believing that something is happening now through the people of God because they've taken the baton of Jesus and they're continuing to run after his mission. If you believe in him, that he's alive. That he's with us. That he sent his Holy Spirit who is in us. Greater works is an invitation to believe. It's funny, I was going to tell this testimony this morning about someone who came through this church and saw a miracle. And as I'm preaching this morning, he's in the room. Okay? He's supposed to be in New York City. Kenny's here. Now, correct me if I'm wrong about this, so I have a correction. He's in the room. But what I remember is that he came to our campus ministry. You had a broken toe or broken foot? Broken foot. So he comes in with a cast on. We did not coordinate this, I promise. So he's got a cast on, and he comes to like a prayer meeting of some sort. Prayer meeting, and we're like, we young people who don't have a lot of Christian background, when we read the Bible, we just believe what it says, right? If someone's sick, pray for them. You can do the works of Jesus in greater work. Well, this brother's foot's broken and Jesus healed, so we're going to pray for healing. So we prayed for him. And next thing you know, I think this is right, you're doing like backflips or some kind of weird kicks around. You were healed, right? He ran around with a broken, he got healed in the moment. Now, we didn't say, you're healed, aren't you? Tell everybody you're healed. Hey, we got Bible study. You got to make sure you come. Every time we did anything, guess who was there? The one who had a broken foot and Jesus healed. That's the power of God. It got his attention. Now, it's funny, all these tests, thank you, Lord. Kenny's now a pastor in New York City at the church we planted in 2001. Amen. Change the campus, reach a city in Greenville, change the world. Well, I'm going to reach this small podunk, Greenville. I remember we took some students in 2001 to New York City. We were there for like some of the first like church services for this church. And you know, we had our Greenville crew, you know. We were excited to be there. And I remember one of the pastors said, "Where are you guys from?" And one of the guys we brought, "I'm from Greenville." And I remember the guy go, "Greenville?" He goes, "Well, actually, I'm from Pactolus." Reaching the city to change the world. God didn't care. He didn't care. You know why? You want to know why? Look at this. Look at what the scripture says. Truly, I say to you, the well-educated who believe in me. Oh, wait, that's not what it said. Truly, truly, I say to you, the rich and powerful. No, that's not what it says. Truly, truly, whoever believes. So let me help you this morning. I'm nobody from a, but if you believe, God can use you to change the world. Or he might just use you to change those around you. He might just use you to do the ministry of Jesus, the works Jesus was doing, right where you are. It's an invitation to believe. Who is this applied to? Whoever believes. Well, I'm a woman. Good. If you believe, God will use you. Well, I'm just a man. Good. If you believe, God will use you. I'm a high school student. Whoever believes. In fact, sometimes I think young people will believe more easily. Because when we get smart and educated, we write off belief and we lean a lot more into our what we know. I mean, Corey's talking about finances. I don't know if you know this, but if you give some of your money away, you got less money. Yeah, did anybody put that together? What? We give and then we're, I don't understand that. That the math doesn't make sense. Yet, if you believe and you give, God will meet you. Whoever. Greater works is an invitation to believe. So here's my question this morning. Do you believe? What? Anything. Do you believe that Jesus is alive and he's with you? Do you believe the resources of heaven are sitting at the throne of God and Jesus sitting with the Father just waiting for us to ask for stuff? That's literally, we read that this morning. If you ask anything in my name, I'll give it to you. Now that doesn't mean we just say, in the name of Jesus, and we get what we want. We get that, right? We got to say that. We can't just say, in the name of Jesus. I want a truck in the name of Jesus. That's not how this works. What he's saying is, if you are in line with the ministry of Jesus, and this is the heart of Jesus, and then you ask for it in Jesus' name, he'll give it to you. Greater works is an invitation to believe, to partner with God, to see something big. And here's my challenge to us young people in here. Us young people. Young people. What are you believing for? Write it down. Pray it out loud. It should scare you. If it doesn't scare you, it's probably not a greater work. More seasoned people. Us, more seasoned people. What are we believing for? What are we asking God for? Is it just about us and our domain? Or is it about Jesus and his domain? Can we do it if we tried real hard and had enough time and money? Or could it only happen if God intervenes? Could we ask for those things? Here's the invitation. Let's believe for bigger things. Let's go to our high schools and start praying that God might do something that only God could do. It really, literally takes one person to see Jesus in your high school and radically make a change, and everybody will pay attention. You know that person. You've written them off. They're drunk most of the time. They're high most of the time. They're coming out of the bathroom, reeking, right? One person sees Jesus, makes a change. Everybody's showing up to see what's going on. It's not that hard if God does it. But are we even asking? Well, give me a good day today. I pray he does. And bring revival to my campus. Change that young lady that she might see Jesus and turn the school upside down. It wouldn't take much. Paul walked into cities and would preach the gospel, and he says he's turning the city upside down. Paul didn't have any special powers. The Spirit did it. There's an invitation here. Number two, greater works is an invitation to love. Listen to Jesus right here. He says, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do. Why? That the Father may be glorified in the Son. I mean, I just want Dad to be happy. You know what? Come over here and ask me for something so I can do it, and then the Father gets the glory. Man, I love my dad. I love my dad. Y'all remember when Jesus was baptized, what the Father said about Jesus? Because my Son, whom I love, with him I'm well pleased. Y'all remember on the Mount of Transfiguration when Jesus was up there with his three disciples and the voice came down, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I'm well. God is love. God is love, and we're being invited into that love. If you paid attention to that long passage we read, this kind of came up off and on. I'm in the Father, and the Father is in me, and you are in me, and I'm in the Father. And the Father is in me, and I'm in the Father, and you're in me, and I'm in you. Y'all see that over and over? Like, why do we keep talking about this? Because he wanted to get this. I'm God, and I'm not just a monad. I'm not just singularity. I am triune. I am community. I am God the Father. I am God the Son. I am God the Holy Spirit. I am love. I don't need you. I want you to be a part of this loving relationship. This is an invitation into love. Why? Because love is the motivation. Why are you always talking about miracles? We need miracles. If you love people, if you're just in your by yourself, surrounded with people that don't have any real needs, you don't need a miracle. But you get around people who need miracles, and you're like, God, you got to show up. Why? Because he loves them. And we love God, and God loves them, so we're going to pray for them. Jesus demonstrated all that. He wasn't about the crowds. Y'all remember, he told the crowds lots of times to go away. In fact, he'd do a miracle and be like, shh. It wasn't about the miracle. He loved this person. He's like, I'm risking this. You got to be quiet. We'll heal you at this leprosy, but go home and don't tell anybody. Right? Because I love you, I'm going to do it. We think it's about, boom, the pyrotechnics and the fog and all. It's about love. Love demands we believe God for miracles because people need miracles. I mean, I need a miracle. It's an invitation to love. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. He says, look, there's greater works. I'm going to the Father. The Father will do what I ask in my name. Right? I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, the advocate, the counselor, the comforter. But right in the middle of this, he says this, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Hold on, Jesus, we're having a good time. Power, all in wonder, obedience. See, if we're having an obedience problem, we have a love problem. You can't say to me, you love me, and then don't obey my word. You can't say, I believe. Because when we say we believe, we're believing in a loving God who went to the cross for you so that you wouldn't live in your sin anymore. And he's calling you out. He loved you to do it. So you can't believe in God, have love for God, and walk in sin. That's what he's saying. If you love me, you obey my commands. And then verse 31, all the way at the bottom, if y'all made it to the end, this is what he said. But I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. The reason I went to the cross is so that you'll know I love God, the Father, and he loves me, and he loves you. And he's inviting you into that love relationship. Love for God, love is mentioned, I think, like 12 times in 8 verses in this passage. It's why we do what we do. It must be. I was at the Building Hope Community Life Center banquet this Thursday night. Some of our board is here. Some of our founders are here. It was powerful.